gospel will overcome. In a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right, Chrissy, guess I'm going to tell you.
What's that?
Trump. He is the worst candidate running.
Okay.
Except for all the rest. I'm sorry. We gotta have a little levity. You gotta have a little fun when you're talking about everything that's going on in the political arena.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean to talk about it every day, but it's what's happening. I mean, there are other things happening we could talk about. I mean, there are other serious issues in the world, but, you know, this is what everybody's talking about. So we're just going to keep it going.
I'm pretty
a little
tired
bit.
Of it, not going to lie.
I know. Well, maybe
I'm
ready
to just move on. I can't believe that we have to wait all the way until November.
I know. Isn't it great? And look, this week, I mean, you think about it. You had Superty Duper Tuesday.
Right.
And you got all
Super
the.
Super Tuesday 3.
Yeah, all the stuff that's going on with Trump and Hillary. And at the same time, March Madness is going
on.
Oh,
yeah. Good. Let's stop talking about politics. Let's talk about basketball.
Well, we could do that. Think the Tar Heels are going all the way?
I don't know. I don't watch basketball.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess you can't talk about that. Well, let's hope they do, though. No offense to all the other basketball fans out there. I rejoice with those who rejoice. Even if my Tar Heels go down, whoever wins, literally, I love seeing when people, you know, when their team wins, I love seeing them get excited. So I'm not one of those who gets bitter or anything like that. That's not because I'm a great guy. So the Lord's transformed my heart. You know, I used to hate my rivalries just like anybody else. And, you know, but now it's like I want to pull for my team. But if my team loses, I rejoice with the winners.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's Jesus. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see.
I got a headline right here.
You do? What is it?
CNN. Is the GOP Stop Trump campaign too late?
Ah, hey, that's a good question.
What do you think?
No, I don't think it's too late. I think it depends on what you mean by that. And I'm going to have you read it one more time in just a moment. But I think Trump will get the 1,237 delegates. But I don't know that Trump will get the nomination. And I think that all things being equal, Trump, if he gets the nomination, is really the only Republican who can beat Hillary. But whether or not he will beat Hillary,
that's a different story.
It's a different story because of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So read the question one more time.
Is the GOP's Stop Trump campaign too late?
Yeah. You want to talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, it goes on. Weber, who is a John Kasich supporter, he said, all of a sudden, everybody's saying, oh, my gosh, the house is burning down, and we should have done something before it got this far.
Yeah. Yeah, you should have. From a political perspective, everybody thought he was just going to sort of implode or fade away on his own, but he didn't.
Right. And then Rubio, when he dropped out after he couldn't take down Trump on Tuesday, he said, hopefully there's still time to prevent a Trump nomination, which I think would fracture the party and be damaging to the conservative movement.
What, having Trump nominated would fracture the party, or stopping Trump?
Having Trump nominated would fracture the party.
Well, it depends on how you stop him. I mean, most of the ways that they're trying to stop him are going to fracture the party anyway. Which I think is a good thing from a Christian perspective. You say, whoa, wait
we'll
a minute,
talk
from
about
a Christian
that.
Perspective, yeah, we got to deal with that. We'll do that. What if they had tried to stop him earlier? Every time they do something to Trump, he seems to get, in some sense, he gets stronger. His numbers go up. His popularity goes up. His supporters dig in. And then those who are on the fence maybe come over to his side. Now, not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those who hate him continue to hate him.
Mm-hmm.
And they hate him worse because of all the misinformation out there.
Right.
Now, there's some who hate him for legitimate reasons. I understand that. Not that we should be people of hate regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I dislike President Obama. I don't hate him. Pray for his soul. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't hate him. But there are a lot of people who hate Trump for, you know, in human terms, legitimate reasons. But anyway, I don't want to get bogged down in that. I'm just saying there are a lot of people who didn't necessarily hate him who hate him now because of misinformation. For example, you know, part of the tactic, it's certainly the Democrats who are involved, it's, you know, it's the liberals who are involved, fringe liberal groups, and then certainly the GOP and the mm-hmm. establishment and all. Everyone knows that. But, you know, the idea of comparing him to Hitler.
Right.
Now, these are things that, in some sense, have gone on in political campaigns throughout history. And yet, with the 24/7 news, you know, cycle or context that we have now, everybody's talking about this, that, and the other all the time. And you got news commentators, rather than reporting the news, they're providing commentary.
Mm-hmm.
They've got an agenda. I mean, everyone's different. Sean Hannity, for example, obviously likes Donald Trump a lot more than Megyn Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go over to CNN, you got Don Lemon. He obviously hates Donald Trump a lot more than, you know, Anderson Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? So mm-hmm. they're not so much just mere news commentators these days as they are, well, newscasters, but rather commentators and folk with an agenda. So anyway, the point I'm trying to make is now all of a sudden you have people out there who are ignorant of, they don't look at the issues. They don't look at what's really being said. They don't look at history. They don't look at what's really going on. And they really do think Trump is just like Hitler.
Right. And
who's going to vote for Hitler?
And we saw, we were watching Fox News the other day, and they were interviewing people who were Bernie Sanders supporters, and
uh-huh.
they were saying, oh, Trump is like Hitler. But the people who were saying that are 20-something-year-olds who...
Yeah.
To be honest, did not sound very educated in any
yeah.
of the issues.
Yeah.
Not to bash 20-somethings. I'm a 20-something.
Well, you need to be an educated 20-something or an educated 50-something, regardless. Bernie is closer to Hitler than Trump. Now, by that, I don't mean, you know, the whole, you know, let's kill all the Jews or anything like that, Hitler, but, you know, socialism and willing to... you know, take money from the people to give it to other people, willing to, you know, anyway. It's political philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
People would do well to read up on it, to study up on it. Now, I don't want to just sort of waste time with all this. I want to get to some substantive questions.
All right.
But what the stop Trump, never Trump,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, stopping the Trump train. Let's just look at, will Trump get the 1,237
mm-hmm.
delegates that he
yeah,
needs before the convention? That's a question a lot of folks are asking. Will he get the 1,237? And what they're trying to do, obviously, is keep him from getting that number.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of folk, because of that, you know, you've got the Hitler thing. You've got the racist thing. You've got, a false view of what's happened at his rallies.
Mm.
I mean, on and on and on. All right? Just saying he'd be the worst president. Generals coming out against him. Of course, why do they come out against him? Because he has a different view of war and foreign policy than they do. But others coming out against him. So will he get to the 1,237? A lot of folks, of course, are saying, well, no, he won't get there. And they're saying, well, he has to get 60% of the remaining... you know, delegates in order to get there. And if he continues on the same trip, he won't get... Listen, I think he will get there. They're doing everything they can do to stop him, but I think he will get there. What do you think?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously I don't know.
Because I keep thinking, oh, this, you know, the protest happened in Chicago. Oh, Trump's over. That's it. Everyone's going to hate him. Well, then... we had the Tuesday elections, and he won, you know, most of the states. Not all of them, but most
mm-hmm.
of them. And so I have no idea, because I keep thinking, oh, this is going to really stop Trump,
right.
But then it doesn't.
Well, it goes back to why he's popular. And we've cited a couple of reasons throughout the entire time we've been talking about him since this past summer.
Mm.
And those reasons are still valid, but you've got other reasons. But, you know, he's put his finger on two big issues for a lot of people. Immigration, that's a big issue. Oh, and they're trying to paint him as somebody who hates all immigrants.
Right.
And he doesn't want anybody else to come in. And a lot of people, the young 20-somethings, buy into that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, down at his headquarters in Florida, just during this, what was it, Super Tuesday 3, I call it Super Duper Tuesday. You know, they're all calling it Super Duper, whatever. The New York Times went into his headquarters in Florida, and they were shocked to see how many Hispanics and how many blacks that Trump had volunteering for him. It just blew their narrative away, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And see, and of course, everybody's trying to say, oh, Trump, he can't get any Hispanic vote. You know, he's got to do that. He's got to somehow try to reel them in. But if he does that, he's going to alienate those who are supporting him now. And anyway, you know, there are a lot of Hispanics here who have come here legally.
Yeah.
Who are not in favor of illegal immigration.
Yeah.
For lots of reasons. So anyway, where was I going with all that? I just lose my train of thought. When you're on the Trump train, you can lose your train of thought.
Well, we are talking about the reasons that Trump is so popular, how they're still true today.
Immigration, that's a big issue. You know, he's going to build the wall, and he's going to get Fox to pay for it. Not Fox News, but Vicente Fox.
Right, right.
Mexico, going to build that wall. What was the other issue he's big on? I mean, for me, of course, he's not a neocon.
Right.
But trade, you know, lots of the middle class, lower middle class, I guess, blue collar folks, you know, jobs going away, manufacturing jobs going away. This is a big issue. So you got the immigration folks, you got the trade folks, you got people who are sick and tired of the Republican establishment putting up moderate candidates like McCain and Romney.
Right.
You got a lot of other folks sick and tired of the establishment not listening to the people. There's a lot of, you know, different parties out there. We understand all of that. But the reality is the more and more they try to stop Trump, the more people see the establishment. Go ahead. You going to say something?
Well, yeah.
Seeking to thwart the will of the people. Go ahead.
I don't like the establishment, but I also really do not like Donald Trump.
That's why I said he's the worst candidate.
I just can't believe that he's the one that we're saying, oh, he's, yeah, let's get behind him because he's going to take down the establishment. Like, why is there nobody else?
You're not joining in?
I do not want to join in.
You're not on the Trump train?
I am not.
You're behind the times.
Well, so be it.
It's a love train for the Trump train.
I think it's like a I don't know what to do train, but I'm on it.
You don't think he's promoting a message of love and peace and harmony and
no
Jupiter aligning with Mars and Age of Aquarius and all of that?
Oh man.
We'll see, won't we?
We'll see.
All right, we've rambled around a little bit. Let us try to be a little bit more systematic on the other side of the break. Not your fault.
Yeah.
My fault.
It's all good.
We'll see how it goes.
The love fest. We're all to blame.
That's
it's all
right.
Good, man. I'm good. You're good.
That's right. We need a Coca-Cola. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
The youth group can't be just pizza, paintball, and Pepsi.
Apologist Alex McFarland.
Is the American youth ministry model making serious lifelong disciples? It has not.
Join us as we talk with Alex about the direction of today's youth groups and what needs to happen next time on Licensed to Parent.
Licensed to Parent every Monday at 11 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction, Hope, and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-553-1851.
1-800-553-1851.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-553-1851. 800-553-1851.
If you're college bound, come to the TD Convention Center on Saturday, March 19th for the Upstate South Carolina National College Fair. Representatives from over 120 colleges will be represented, and financial aid and standardized testing workshops will be held. Admission is free. The Upstate South Carolina National College Fair will be held from 1 to 4 p.m. on Saturday, March 19th at the TD Convention Center. Register now at gotomyncf.com.
Life-changing Christian teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660.
World, let's join in.
I refuse.
You don't like Trump?
I do not.
Why not?
Because he says the same things over and over and over and over and over and over again, the same five things, and they're not, they don't sound very smart. I'm just being honest. I know he's a smart guy.
He is smart. I
mean,
he's
got to be. Right. Exactly. Oh, man. I saw this one meme.
We're going to make America
I saw
great.
This meme online, and I'm just throwing this out off the top of my head, so I'm probably going to get it wrong, but it was something like, oh, yeah, we definitely have a problem with, you know, immigration. That I can tell you. We're going to do something about it. And you know, just this problem, it's really huge. And I can tell you, we're going to fix it. We're really going to fix it, and we're going to make America great again. And then underneath it said, Donald Trump is every student ever who was called on by the teacher to ask about what the book was about when they didn't do the reading.
Yes. Thank
and
you.
And I agree.
Finally, a representative for me. No.
And I don't know. So I get, here's where I'm at. I don't like Ted Cruz. I really don't. I'm sorry for everyone who likes Ted Cruz. But I don't, and obviously I don't like any of the Democratic candidates.
Yes, that goes without saying.
But I don't like Donald Trump.
Okay, I'm with you.
Almost as much
like
as
him.
I don't like Ted Cruz.
Yeah, I got you. You want to tell us why you don't like Ted Cruz?
Well, he changes his mind on a lot of things, mm-hmm. and I don't like his stance on war, and mm-hmm. his tax plan is really not a good idea if you actually think about it.
Right.
He's just a little bit, I don't know, like you say, he's a neoconservative.
Trying to paint
I don't
himself
actually
as
know.
As an outsider, but he's not.
Right.
He's got the Goldman Sachs deal going on. He clerked for William Rehnquist. He was in the Bush administration, so was his wife. I mean, you know, come on.
Right.
Now, he's very conservative. You know, maybe, you know, the establishment doesn't like him. We know that.
And that's great. Go, Ted Cruz. I'm so happy that you're a Christian and that everyone knows it.
Yes.
But I don't want him to be president.
I hear you. Well, yeah.
So I don't know what to do.
Why? Let's look at it from a different angle. Why is the GOP trying to steal the nomination from Trump? And
because
when I say that, that presupposes that he's going to get all the delegates. By the way, even if he gets all the delegates, even if he gets 1,237 before the convention, they're still going to try to steal it from him.
Well, they were talking on Fox News and saying that in all the history, the person who was the front runner, has gotten the nomination.
That's correct.
And so they were saying they don't think that they're going to steal it from Trump. But you think they will for the first time in history?
Absolutely. Trump's an outsider. He's a real outsider.
Right. I understand that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I heard part of that litany you're talking about. They went all, I get. Did they go all the way back to, who was it? Was it Nixon or Ford?
Right.
Certainly.
Mm-hmm. They went pretty far.
Yeah. Ford was the front runner. I remember this in 76, and Reagan challenged him, but Ford got it. And then, I don't want to go through all that.
Right.
I can't remember. But, yeah, that's true. But there again, all of those folks, in a sense, were insiders. Trump Trump is not has not been a politician. He's certainly been political, but he's not, you know, held elected office.
Mm.
And so in one sense, they're upset because he hasn't paid his dues,
mm-hmm.
hasn't come up through the ranks. And, you know, others are upset, well, because he's only been, you know, a Republican and claimed some of these conservative positions for, you know, a very short period of time.
Mm.
We do know he endorsed Mitt Romney 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was he before that? How far back does it go? I don't know.
Well, let's talk about this conservative thing. Marco Rubio said that if Trump gets the nomination, then it's going to be damaging to conservatism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people are saying that if Trump wins, you know, it's going to be the death of
conservatism.
But would you not think, I think conservatism is already dead because America is not a conservative country.
Mm-hmm.
The people in America, we're not conservative. We're not a Christian nation. We don't
right.
hold to Christian values. That's already happened.
Sure.
So what are they, I mean.
Yeah, when you're talking about conservatism, it depends on how you define it. But let's just define it right now in terms of, okay, conservative in terms of social issues.
Right.
Maybe sort of quasi-fiscally conservative. Again, conservative, Ronald Reagan was not fiscally conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Ran up a huge debt. Now, listen, I like Ronald Reagan. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing him. But I'm just saying you have to really know what you're talking about when you're talking about conservatism.
Okay.
Ronald Reagan, he had a huge tax cut, but he raised taxes on the backside multiple times. So, again, I think when most Christians are talking about conservatism, what they're talking about are values.
Right.
Would you agree with me?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree.
Same-sex marriage, you know, we're against that.
Abortion.
You know, we're against abortion, that kind of thing. And, you know, I think in that sense, yeah, that horse is already out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
He's already halfway around the track.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that somehow if we could get Ted Cruz elected, for example, you know, we could sort of, you know, bring it back. That's not happening. There's a reason that the establishment hates Ted Cruz almost as much as they hate Donald Trump. Even though I say Ted Cruz is not an outsider, he's sort of an insider, that doesn't mean that he's a well-liked insider.
Mm-hmm.
He's conservative, far more conservative than the establishment, far more conservative than the American public, as you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so he will never get the nomination.
Well, and if he does, he wouldn't win.
Right. Well, that's exactly right.
Because that's not where America is,
yeah.
the majority
yeah. and see, a lot
of America.
Yeah, a lot of Christians / conservatives today are saying, look, we won with Ronald Reagan. They said he couldn't win. He's conservative. But look what happened there.
That was a long time
ago.
Well,
the problem is, yeah, that was, what, 30 years ago. The country today is not at all like it was back
mm-hmm.
in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here. And it is not at all like that. I don't think Reagan could win today.
Mm-hmm.
And if Reagan can't win, and Ted Cruz can't win, Huckabee can't win, Santorum can't win, none of these conservatives can win, and they haven't.
Right.
And that's why they put up McCain and Romney. But here's the reality. Romney and McCain and the establishment, they can't beat the Democrats either anymore because the country has shifted.
Right.
All right? So is that what you're talking about?
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
So for Rubio to say what he's saying is really dumb. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think it's dumb. I just think that there's no use trying to save conservatism because it's already gone. Because because you don't bring back conservative values with politics
with
government. You bring back conservative values by people being changed and more people coming to know Christ.
That's right. Let's talk about that for just a minute. Can I say one thing
sure.
on the way to that? Gary, how much time do we have? 4 minutes. Oh, my goodness. I heard an illustration recently. Not a bad illustration. All right. Heard it last week, I think. But somebody was talking about, and I'd like to give credit, but I'm just not. I'm just going to leave it general, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they were saying, okay, Donald Trump, he's like the demolition crew, you know, when you're tearing down a building.
Right.
All right, and usually when you do that and you're going to build another building's place, you don't use the demolition crew. You use
somebody
a construction
else.
Crew, so a completely different.
So he's the demolition guy, and we're going to get a new guy for
yeah, yeah. And so they're saying, okay, thank you for all the demolition you've done. That was necessary.
Yeah.
But now we need to put crews in,
yeah.
you know, to rebuild. And a lot of people have kind of picked up on that illustration. Well, the point is the demolition isn't complete yet if you're looking for a demolition crew, number one.
Right.
And what is it that we're demolishing? For me, it would be, I would certainly be in favor of the demolition of the stranglehold of the neoconservatives on both the Republican and Democratic parties.
Yeah.
That would be a good thing. The Republican establishment, if it were demolished, that would be a good thing. Because, again, when you look at where politics are, they're so far from our founding days, so far from what a Christian would want in government. And as long as we continue to support establishment candidates or candidates who may not necessarily be establishment, but maybe they're a little bit more conservative like a Ted Cruz, but he can't make any real change because of the establishment, because of the way things are, because of the Leviathan of government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you destroy the whole thing,
right?
All you're doing is status quo.
And American, almost like imperialism, that would be destroyed.
Sure, yeah. American imperialism, that kind of thing. So the point being, a lot of folks saying, okay, well, yeah, we had Trump, but let's get, you know, Cruz or somebody in to rebuild. Well, what's he going to rebuild? First off, it presupposes that you can actually bring America back to conservative / Christian values through government, which you cannot.
Right.
It presupposes that he's going to be able to rebuild a superstructure that let's just say this, maybe like it was back during the days of Reagan. You're not going to do it in this cultural climate.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that you can, are you not looking at what's on television, what's in the movie theaters, you know, what's happening in the Supreme Court? You understand what people are talking about, the things that are now acceptable, even to Christians, that were unthinkable just 20 years ago, 10 years ago in some cases.
Yeah.
So it goes back to your point. You know, I like talking about politics, and we need to talk about politics. We need to influence the political arena. That's why at this point I'm rooting for Trump. Now, we'll talk about can I vote for him, can I not vote for him, maybe on a future broadcast, but I'm certainly rooting for Trump. But at the same time, I recognize that Trump is not going to rebuild anything.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is, you know, all he's going to perhaps, maybe, possibly do, is break that stranglehold of the neoconservatives and keep us out of World War III. Maybe. Right. We don't know that.
Well, it's a good thing I believe in a sovereign God.
Well, of course. I'm not wringing my hands.
I might sit this one out, but it's going to be okay.
Oh, well, sure it is. But what do we have to do? The church has to wake up, not politically, but evangelistically.
Absolutely.
We're not sharing our faith. We're just not.
Yeah.
If we were being salt and light with all the churches in America, and right now we're getting trampled upon. We're just good for being trampled on. That's what Jesus said, because we're not salt and light. We'll talk about that next time, too.
All right.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.